إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. Today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we have reached our 14th hadith. This is our 14th session. And today, inshallah, we'll take the 14th hadith, which obviously is a little bit longer than some of the hadith that we've had up until now. And as I mentioned in the beginning, there are a couple of hadith, maybe two or three, that are a little bit lengthy. In consideration of our level of study at this point, we might find them a little bit lengthy. But they are all manageable. So this is one of those that I was referring to that's a little bit lengthy, but inshallah we'll still memorize it with the help of Allah. I want to remind us that every week we should be trying to review the hadith that we took previously. If you have memorized the hadith that we have taken up until now, it's incumbent upon you to actively be in the process of reviewing them so that you don't forget at the end what we learned in the beginning. Alaykum salam. Normally every week we're going to try to review a few hadith in the beginning of the class or in the end of the class and together as a group. And at some point, inshallah, those who would like to be tested, inshallah, will test you on the memory of the whole group. Any 5 or 10 at a time, or all 20 of them when it's complete. Either orally or in writing, whichever you like, no problem. Okay, so today what I would like to do is just review just the last couple of hadith that we took, which would be the 11th, 12th, and 13th hadith. The last three hadith that we take before today, 11th, 12th, and 13th hadith. So whoever has memorized those hadith, hadith number 11 is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, reported by Abu Dawood. And hadith number 12 is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is muttafaqun alayh. And hadith number 13 is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, which is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And that's the hadith that we took last week. So let's start with last week's hadith, which should be the freshest in our mind. The last week's hadith, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And who would like to recite it for us? Who would like to recite it? Okay. Huh? Okay. Mustafa, let's start with Mustafa on this side first. Now.
An Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu khala. Khala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man mata yushriku shay'an.
Yushriku billahi.
Billahi shay'an. دخل نار وقلت أن من ما بالله دخل الجنة.
نعم.
رواه البخاري
ومسلم. جيد. نعم. Okay, let's come on this side. Jamil. نعم.
من مات يشرك بالله شيئا دخل النار وقلت أنا من مات لا يشرك بالله شيئا ترك الجنة. رواه البخاري.
ما شاء الله الحمد لله. Listen to this. How old are you, Jamil? 11, mashallah. Jayid, ahsant. May Allah increase you. May Allah increase you in khair, inshallah. Zadakallahu hirsan. Naam. Okay, one more. Somebody else. Last week's hadith. He had his hand up first. Naam.
Oh. Murshid. Finally, I can never get it. Mustafa's always taking the.
Yeah, no problem. I saw you, but he was a little bit ahead of you. Naam.
Abdullah ibn Mas'ud.
Radiallahu anhu.
من مات يشرك بالله شيئا دخل النار وقلت أنا من مات لا يشرك بالله شيئا دخل الجنة. رواه البخاري ومسلم.
رواه البخاري ومسلم. All right, so this is the hadith that we had last week. Very important hadith. The hadith of Abdul Masud radiallahu anhu. The hadith reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. And it's dealing with what? What is the cause of a person and he being in the hellfire, and what is the cause of a person being in the Jannah? Yani, al-shirk and al-tawheed. Yani, the person who falls into shirk and dies upon shirk, then they will be in the hellfire, guaranteed. And the person that, yani, establishes tawheed, then this is the guarantee of paradise. Okay, the hadith before that, hadith number 12, the hadith of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, which is muttafaqun alayh. Who memorized this hadith? Hadith of Abu Hurairah. Naam, Abdul Haq. صلى الله عليه وسلم
صلاة في مسجد هذا خير من ألف صلاة فيما سواه إلا المسجد الحرام. متفق عليه.
متفق عليه. طيب جيد أحسنت. Anybody else who didn't recite today? Hadith number 12. نعم نصيحة.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة في مسجد هذا خير من ألف صلاة فيها
فيما
سواه إلى مسجد الحرام.
نعم.
إلا المسجد الحرام.
طيب. Anybody else? Hadith number 12. Hadith of Abu Hurairah. طيب. تفضل.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة في مسجد هذا فقال يا رسول
خير
خير خير من ألف صلاة في سواه
فيما سواه
فيما سواه هو إلا مسجد الحرام.
أحسنت ما شاء الله. One more. Hadith number 12, Abu Huraira. نعم. طيب. ها؟
Again.
If you like, if nobody else wants to recite, we'd like to get somebody else, but if nobody else would do it, we'll just take one more. Go ahead. Huh? Dawood? Go ahead, Dawood. Now.
Salatin Fima Illa
Siwahu
Fima Siwahu Illa
Thousand times better than any other masjid except Illa
Masjid Al-Haram
Al-Masjid Al-Haram. Naam, muttafaqun alayh. طيب, one more hadith. We're going to take hadith number 11, hadith of Abdul ibn Umar. Hadith of Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Anybody memorize this hadith who didn't recite today? Somebody who didn't recite today. Hadith number 11. Come on, we want to get some participation from everybody. We don't want this to be limited to a couple of people. Hadith of Abdul ibn Umar, reported by Abu Dawood. It's not a long hadith. La tamna'u. Nobody didn't recite yet? Okay, anybody who wants to? Naam. Tafadhal.
An Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la tamnu nisa'ukum masajid wa buyutukum
al-masajid
wa buyutukum khayrun lakum.
Naam. Tayyib, anybody else? One more. Go. Okay, we're going to go to you one more time today. Now, this is your day today. Okay, no problem.
And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la tamna'u nisa'akum al-masjida
وبيوتهن بيوتهن
بيوتهن خير لهن
رواه أحسنت ما شاء الله طيب Okay, the point, the purpose of this few minutes that we're taking at the beginning of the class is to encourage everyone to memorize and then also to encourage everyone to participate. Yani to get used to reciting the hadith from your memory. Get used to it. I know some of us may feel more uneasy than others, but yani, at least sometimes participate, give it a shot, try. Everybody who gets nervous when they're reciting is subject to forget. That's normal for all human beings. Okay, almost everybody's going to have that problem to some extent or another. But this is the place where we can practice amongst one another, where we know each other. And we get used to it so that yani, when the opportunity comes or the need for it comes, we might not have any papers with us. We have to go to our memory. And we want to say it the way the Prophet ﷺ said it. Not, I think he said something like this or that or the other. And usually when people do that, they mess it up. They say something else other than what the Prophet ﷺ said. And this is a dangerous matter. As the Prophet ﷺ narrated in Hadith al-Sahih, من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. That whoever lies on me intentionally, then let him take a place. He is guaranteed a place in the hellfire, a seat in the hellfire. And in a narration that's authentic also, he didn't say intentionally. Whoever lies on me, then he is guaranteed a seat in the hellfire. And in another hadith that's reported by Imam Muslim in his Muqaddimah and introduction to the Sahih of Muslim, he said that there are two people who are liars, the one who made it up and the one who carries it. And both of them are liars. And whoever says something about the Prophet ﷺ, يَظُنُّهُ مِنَ الْكَذِبِ يعني that he thinks that it could be untrue. Then both of them are liars, that is, the one who made it up and the one who transfers it. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Kama qala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In any case, the point is that we want to recite the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as they have been passed down to us authentically. And you know, we have to make some effort to do it. Yes, if we're not used to memorizing, it could be a little difficult, but we practice inshallah. By the time we finish this course, and all of us should have memorized yani some hadith, if not all 20 of them, at least most of them, or whatever, everyone according to the ability, or whatever you're able to do. In the past, yani we have asked, for example, from any group of people, how many people have memorized 10 hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Not 100, 10. And most of the time, you can hardly find yani one who can say, I have memorized 10 hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam verbatim, just as the Prophet ﷺ spoke them. Rarely you can find people who have done so, unless they are students of knowledge, people who are serious about learning. Otherwise, the common masses of Muslims who say we love Rasulullah ﷺ, we haven't memorized anything from what he said. Even though what he says is revelation, yani from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we didn't memorize it. But we memorize yani for our jobs, for school, for all kind of things, we memorize pages and pages and volumes, but we don't memorize anything from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one of the main objectives of this class is to get us on the track of memorization of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, no doubt that means yani after memorizing Quran, right? We should be already memorizing Quran. Yani, every Muslim should be trying to memorize as much of the Quran as we're able to. But along with that, we also want to memorize the hadith. Okay, that being said, inshallah, we're going to go into the hadith for today. The hadith for today is on page 33. I've written it on the board, yani hastily a little bit because of yani the time. But in any case, you have it in your books. And if you note what I have written on the board, please pay attention. I have written in red here in three places this word innahu, yani that the person said to Ya Rasulullah, innahu laysa li qa'idun yaquduni. Notice that I put a word here, innahu. This is the word that's not found in our book. That's the way the hadith, that's the exact wording of the hadith from Sahih Muslim. And likewise here in this line, yani that he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yurakhis lahu. In our book it has an yusalliya, and here in Sahih Muslim it came fa yusalliya. And on the end of the hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, hal tasma al nida, yani in Sahih Muslim it has the word bis salat, hal tasma. Anyway, we're going to go over it, inshallah. I just want you to pay attention to these three places where there are some yani editing of the text, just as it came in Sahih Muslim. And yani, the hadith is narrated in a lot of other books, and some of those books, innahu is not mentioned in some of the books of hadith. And in some of them, instead of fa'an, as it came in our book, is mentioned. And likewise, in some of them, the word salah is not mentioned. But in Sahih Muslim, the hadith as it's narrated in Sahih Muslim is exactly the way I have written here. I want us to memorize it the way it's in Sahih Muslim. If we want to refer to Sahih Muslim, we should say the wording as it came in Sahih Muslim. Okay, so it came in other books. It came in Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasa'i, and it came in Mustadrak of Hakim, Musnad, Imam Ahmed, and others, with various wordings that have the same meaning. The meaning is not different, but this is the wording, yani, as it came in Muslim. And we know that sometimes, and if the scholars were meticulous in hadith, they might say this hadith is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. And if the wording in Bukhari and Muslim is slightly different, even with one word, then they'll say walafdhu li Muslim, and the wording is for Muslim, or the wording is for Bukhari. They will say exactly that particular wording came from which book. Okay, so this is yani the meticulousness of the scholars of hadith, and we want to pay attention to these things. So I don't want to make like a problem for you if you already memorized the hadith, but this is the way it came in Sahih Muslim. No problem. But this is the way it came in Sahih Muslim, so this is the way we want to try to memorize it. I mean, I myself memorized this hadith before going back to check the hadith this week. Before the class, I usually go back and verify yani the wordings of the hadith and the sources and things like that. And when I went back to check it, I found the wording was slightly different in Sahih Muslim, and that's why I'm bringing it to your attention now. Okay, so let's go over the hadith a little bit. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let's go over the hadith a little bit. And the hadith is reported by Abu Huraira. It's narrated by Abu Huraira, and it's collected by Al-Imam Muslim. Al-Imam Muslim, Rawahu Muslim. Alright, so the hadith, it says, An Abi Hurairata radiallahu anhu qal. Yani, on the authority of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, Ata an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rajulun a'ma. Rajulun a'ma. Yani, Ata an-Nabi means he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, ata is to come. Ata an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came to the Prophet. Who came to the Prophet? Rajulun a'ma. A blind man. A blind man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqala, then he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, innahu laysa li qa'idun yaquduni ila al-masjidi. Yani, innahu means verily, indeed, certainly. Laysa li qa'idun, I do not have a guide. I don't have a slave or a servant or a person that I can command to accompany me to the masjid. I don't have anyone. Yaquduni, yani to direct me, to guide me, ila al-masjidi, to the masjid. I don't have such a person. And in some of the narrations it said, and between my house is far from the masjid. And between my house and the masjid, there are rivers or streams, and there are trees, and there's yani animals, yani reptiles, and all kind of things, right? In all of that, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Fasala Rasulullah." Yani he requested, he asked, meaning he asked from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ayyurakhisa lahu," to give permission to him. Yani in our book it says, "An yusalliya," to pray. Fi baytihi, and here in Sahih Muslim said, فَيُصَلِّيَ, to give him permission, so that he would then pray in his home. فَيُصَلِّيَ فِي بَيْتِهِ فَرَخَّصَ لَهُ, yani the Prophet ﷺ gave him permission, yani to pray in his home. فَلَمَّا وَلَّى, but when he turned away. لَمَّا means when. وَلَّى, he turned his back and started to go away. دَآهُ, the Prophet called him, called out to him as he was walking away. فَقَالَ, and said to him, هَلْ تَسْمَعُ النِّدَاءَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. هَلْ تَسْمَعُ, do you hear النِّدَاءَ, yani the call that is adhan, بِالصَّلَاةِ, the call for salat. قَالَ, the blind man said, قَالَ نَعَمْ, I hear it. قَالَ صلى الله عليه وسلم فَأَجِبْ. فَأَجِبْ, then you must respond. Yani ajib is the fi'l amr, the command form, imperative form. He said, then you must respond, meaning you have to come to the masjid and pray in the jama'ah. There are a lot of points we want to make about this hadith, but yani for the sake of time, we may limit them to what يعني is most important. Again, let's recite the hadith together. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل أعمى فقال يا رسول الله إنه ليس لي قائد إنه ليس لي قائد يقودني إلى المسجد يعني إنه ليس لي يعني indeed there is not for me a قائد a guide to guide me to the masjid فسأل as a result of him not having a guide فسأل meaning طلب he requested رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يرخص فسأل رسول الله أن يرخص له فيصلي في بيته فرخص له فلما ولى when he turned away دعاه he called him back فقال that is the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said هل تسمع النداء بالصلاة قال نعم قال فأجب رواه مسلم Okay, any question about this hadith in terms of the wording of it or anything in the text of the hadith before we discuss the details of it? Any of the words here that we don't know or we're not familiar with and you want to make a note on? Any of these words? Naam. In the first line or second line?
The third line.
Yeah. Naam.
An yurakhisa.
Okay. An yurakhi. With kasra. An yurakhisa lahu. An yurakhisa. يعني رخص يرخص رخص means to give permission after something has been prohibited يعني it's prohibited for you to remain home from the congregational prayers so now he's asking for permission exemption from that prohibition يعني it's prohibited if you remain at home when it's time for salah you have to go to the masjid so he يعني asks the prophet to give him permission to be exempt from that matter يعني so that he could pray in his house now any other question any words here that are not clear نعم فلما يعني فا is يعني then لما means يعني at the time when something like عندما لما means when يعني at this time when this happened يعني when he said to him يعني when he gave him permission at that time لما at that time ولا when he turned away at that time when he turned away the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم دعاهو called him and he called out to him when he turned away فقال هل تسمع النداء تسمع النداء بالصلاة قال نعم قال فأجب رواه مسلم any other question about any of the words here any other question about any of the words here أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل أعمى فقال يا رسول الله إنه ليس لي قائد يقودني إلى المسجد إلى المسجد فسأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يرخص له فيصلي في بيته فرخص له فلما ولى دعاه فقال هل تسمع النداء بالصلاة قال نعم قال فأجب Okay, any question about the words in this hadith any of the words or any expression or anything grammatically that's not clear Okay, again like I said it may be a little bit more than what we have taken so far in terms of memorization but And you just pay attention to those three words. Try to put that into your book so you memorize it as it came in Sahih Muslim.
Hardline meaning is not
clear. Huh?
Hardline meaning.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Top line,
third line. Third line, the whole line or any particular word? Okay, let's look at it again. Brothers, I know you want to get a picture of the board, but I'm uncomfortable with these pictures being taken. Please try, to only use it for necessity. Because I don't take pictures, and I would appreciate it that you be careful when you're taking pictures of the board, that you don't take pictures of anybody in the classroom, especially me. Type the third line, فَسَأَلَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So, he asked the Messenger of Allah. The meaning of سَأَلَ here is طَلَبَ. He requested. And he requested from the Messenger of Allah, أَنْ يُرَخِّسَ لَهُ. رَخَّسَ يُرَخِّسُ means to ask permission to be exempt from something after it has been prohibited. Yani to give permission to do something that you have been prohibited from. And you have been prohibited from remaining home during the time of the congregational prayer. He's asking for permission to be exempt from that. Yani so he asks Sa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alaykum salam ayyurakhisa lahu, to give permission to him. The blind man asks that he give, the Prophet give permission to him. Fayusalliya, then if he gave him permission, يصلي, he will pray في بيته, in his house. If he gave him permission, then he will pray in his house. فرخص له, so the Prophet gave him permission. رخص له, he gave him permission. فلما ولى, but then when the blind man turned away to go home, دعاه, the Prophet called him. فقال هل تسمع النداء بالصلاة, قال نعم, قال فأجب. Is it clear? Okay, let's just look at a little bit of this hadith. There are a lot of points that we're going to make about this hadith, and I don't know if we'll be able to cover them all because the time is obviously brief. But let's go over the book first. In case we run out of time, at least we'll cover what's in the book. And then if we have time, we'll go a little bit further. Let me just say before I start, so I know I'll cover this point, is that the man, يعني رجل أعمى, in some of the narrations it mentioned that it was مختوم, ابن مختوم. Ibn Makhtum. In some of the narrations it mentioned specifically that it was him, that he was the one who asked the Prophet ﷺ for permission. Okay, let's look at the book on page 33. After the hadith, it says, yani it's giving us the meaning of some of the words, right? Linguistic points from this hadith. The word ata. This word here, ata. The word ata. Ata al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani Abu Huraira says, Ata al-Nabi Rajulun A'ma, alaykum salam. A blind man came to the Prophet. Ata, it means Ja'a. The meaning of Ata is Ja'a. He came. Wal Mudari Ya'ti. Yani the Mudari of Ata is Ya'ti. Yani the present tense form. Ja'a, yani is the meaning. The past tense of this verb is ata, to come. The present tense is ya'ati. And the masdar is ityan. Ityan meaning coming. Ityan means coming. After this, and by the way, the fi'l amr from this verb is et. And this is a regular word here. I'm just going to write it on the board. Yani the fi'l amr from this verb is E-T. Yani originally it is E-T. Because from Ata, yani with the present vowel added in the beginning, the Hamza Tawassu vowel, you got E-T. And because of these two, yani coming together, Hamza Tawassu and Hamza Tawqat, so these two are combined together and they are pronounced as, yani this becomes, yani the hamza is removed and this vowel here is elongated. And this is a rule in Arabic that we don't have time to discuss now, we'll talk about it in Arabic class, in grammar class. But in any case, originally this should have been, the verb, the command form should have been i'ti. But it's actually written and pronounced et. Unless there's a waw or fa before it, then it becomes fa'ati or wa'ati. And like I said, we'll discuss this in Arabic class. In level 3 or in level 4, I don't know, somewhere it came. Inshallah, we'll see it. Okay, so the fi'l amr from this verb is et. Yani ata, he came. Ya'ti, he comes or he is coming. And et means you're telling somebody, come. Come, إيتي معي, come with me. Okay? The second word is the word يعني رجل أعمى, أعمى. الأعمى, the definition of أعمى, من لا يرى بعينيه. من لا يرى بعينيه. The person who is not able to see with his two eyes. يعني he's blind in both eyes. والمؤنث, يعني the feminine form of the word أعمى, that's the masculine form. The feminine form is عمياءُ, عمياءُ, like سوداءُ, عمياءُ. This is a broken plural, I mean a feminine noun that is ممنوع من الصرف. عمياءُ. The command والجمعُ عُمْيٌ. The plural form is عُمْيٌ. So this word أعمى is masculine, عمياءُ is feminine, and عُمْيٌ, عُمْيٌ is plural. And this plural, and it's for both masculine and feminine, plural. After this is the verb قاد يقود. يعني he said in this hadith إنه ليس لي قائد, I have no guide, يقودني, to guide me إلى المسجد. يقود, this verb, the past tense is قاد, the present tense is what we have here, يقود. قاد يقود means to guide يعني someone, or to drive, for example, a car, the same word is used, you know. قاد يقود, to guide someone. The فعل أمر from this verb is قد. قاف ضم دال سكون. قد. The فعل أمر is قد. And this is similar to, for example, other words that we know like قم. Right? قم, which means what?
Stand.
To stand, naam. Naam. And also, yani, for example, this fi'l amr that we know very well, everybody should know this, right? Qul huwa Allahu ahad, right? Qul. These are from the same type of verb, which is the Ajwaf verb. Qada is the Ajwaf verb. Qama is Ajwaf verb. And qala. Qala yaqulu qul. Qama yaqumu qum. And here we have qada yaqudu qud. Alright, so if a person, if you are familiar, if you have studied book 2 and we're familiar with the af'al, al-wa', which type of verbs? The, yani, defective verbs. Yani, one of them is called ajwaf, and this is the type of verb this is. This is the verbs that have weak letters. Qada yaqudu. The fi'l amr is kud. The masdar is qiyadatun. Qiyadatun. Qiyada, which means guiding or driving and so on. The ism fa'ili is qa'idun. That's the word that we have here. Qa'idun, the ism fa'il. The ism fa'il, what is the ism fa'il, by the way? What is an ism fa'il? Okay, it's the form, the pattern, the wazn that's used to identify the one who does the action of the verb. The one who does the action of a verb. The ism fa'il is the noun that's on the pattern of fa'ilun, fa'ilun, which means the one who's doing the action of the verb. So if you have qada yaqudu, the ism fa'il is qa'id, meaning the one who does the guiding. Huh? Qama yaqumu, standing. The qa'im is the one who is standing. Okay? Qala yaqulu, to speak, to say something. The one who does speaking is called qa'il. Wa qala qa'ilu, and a sayer, a person, someone amongst them said such and such and so and so. And so this is the ism fa'il. It's the pattern, the wazn that is used for to describe the one who does the action of a verb. Now,
for the other forms of the verb,
for other forms of verbs, there's different ism fa'il. It's ism fa'il, but yani the verbs that have extra letters added to them, then they have a different form. Now they have a different form. Yes, yeah, still called ism fa'il. Now, okay. After this is the word, the expression rakhasa lahu fi kada. Notice that there's a word on the second line underneath this expression, rakhasa lahu fi. Look underneath rakhasa. It says kada. Rakhasa lahu fi kada means he gave permission to him fi kada in such and such matter. Fi kada. Okay, here we had in this hadith, and يُرَخِّصَ لَهُ In reference to what matter? In reference to staying home from the congregational prayer. يعني رخص له, to give permission to someone, has to be in reference to something. Here we know from the context of the hadith that it's in reference to him remaining at home. What is the meaning of رخص له في كذا؟ أذن له فيه بعد النهي عنه. Notice the description of this expression here. أذن له فيه, يعني he gave to him permission, فيه, in that particular matter. He gave him permission, بعد النهي عنه, after the prohibition from that thing that he's asking exemption from. Okay, so the meaning of رخصه, it means to give permission, but it means specifically giving permission after something has been prohibited. If it has never been prohibited, you just say أذن, and he gave him permission. But when you say رخصه, it means you are giving permission in a matter that has been before that prohibited. So now the person who has the رخصه is exempt from that prohibition, for example. Okay, something is prohibited and somebody has been given a رخصه. Yani he's been given permission to be exempt after the prohibition already came. Yani it was originally prohibited, but the Prophet ﷺ may exempt, by permission from Allah of course, someone from certain things. Some people are exempt from certain things. Okay, so here, yani he asks for permission to be exempt from the prohibition of remaining home during the congregational prayer. This is the past tense, رخصه. The present tense is يرخصه. رخص يرخص, يعني this is from the مزيد verbs, the second form, يعني فعل, like علم يعلم, like درس يدرس. يعني these are verbs that some of you may have seen before. In any case, it's the second form of the verb with the increase in the second letter. رخص, رخص يرخص, and the مصدر is ترخيص. ترخيص means giving permission. After this, the word walla, yani after the Prophet رخص له, he said فلما walla. Walla means adbara. Adbara means what? To turn around, to turn your back to someone. Adbara. Walla means he turned around. He turned his back, yani to go away. Walla means adbara. The past tense is walla, the mudari is yuwalli. In the book it says yuwalla with fatta on top of the shadda. This is a mistake. This is a printing mistake. Okay? Whenever you see a shadda, if it has a letter underneath it, even though it may be above the consonant, if the letter is underneath the shadda, it means kasra. If it's above the shadda, it means fatta. And the same thing with hamza. So in this case, and we see that the fatha is above the shadda in the mudari form yuwalli. It should be yuwalli, but it has written here yuwalla. Okay, it should be yuwalli. Walla, yuwalli. Like the same as in salla, yusalli. Salla, same exact form. Salla, yusalli. Both of them have the same exact form. The fi'l amra is walli, yani with a short vowel, walli. Same as the fi'l amr from salla yusalli is what? Salli. Allahumma salli. Salli with a short vowel. Salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad, as we say in our salat every day. So the same form here, walli, is the same form as salli. After this, the next word is ajaba. Ajaba. Ajaba, it means radda. Radda. Radda means yani to respond, to answer. And the mudari is yujibu. Ajaba yujibu. The fi'l amr is ajib, and it came here in the end of the hadith, fa ajib. Yani this fi'l amr here, the command form ajib, it is from the verb ajaba yujibu, like aqama yuqimu. Ajaba means he answered, he responded. Yujibu is the present tense form in the fi'l amr, is ajib. As we say, aqim as-salat. Aqim as-salat means what? Yani stand, yani pronounce the iqama for the beginning of the salah. Aqim as-salat. From aqama yuqimu aqim. Aqim. Here we have ajib. And the masdar from this verb is ijabatun. Ijabatun. Yani ajaba yujibu, the fi'l amra, ajib, the masdar, ijabatun, answering, answering. Ajaba, he answered. Yujibu, he answers. Ajib, the imperative command form, answer. And ijabatun is the masdar, the infinitive form, means answering. The next word is an-nida. Notice that the word an-nida, yani it's written here, like I said, a little hastily, I was rushing a little bit, but yani let's see if we can make it a little bit clearer. And this noon has shadda, and then it has kasra. That's kasra, underneath the shadda. Okay, the reason why this word has shadda is what? Why does this word have shadda here? Why do we write a shadda on this word? I'm just saying, it's Arabic, linguistically, huh? Because it's from the Haruf Shamsiyah. The Haruf Shamsiyah, when they have Alif Lam, we don't pronounce the Lam, but rather we double the sun letter instead of the Lam, right? So the reason why there's a Shadda here is because this is from the sun letters. From the sun letters that are doubled when they're written with Alif Lam. Instead of saying Al Nida, we say An Nida. Instead of saying Al Rahman, we say what? Ar-Rahman, like this, okay? So this is why the shadda here, the vowel is underneath the shadda, means it's kasra. An nida'a. This has fatha on the end of nida'a, why? Maf'ulun bi. It's the object of this verb. Hal tasma'u an nida'a. Do you hear the call? This is the object of the verb, maf'ulun bi, mansub, wa alamatu nasbihi fatha. And then we have this extra word here, that's not in our book. It's very important in this case if we want to memorize the wording of Imam Muslim. It came with this word, bis-salati. Al-tasma, al-nida, bis-salati. On the bottom of the page it says, lamma, this word, lamma that came here, with fa, then, lamma, when, walla, he turned away, da'ahu, he called him, yani the Prophet called him back, faqala, and he said to him, al-tasma'u. النِّدَاءَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. So this word لَمَّا, he's given us examples of how it's used. If you turn to the second page after the word لَمَّا, it says تَقُولُ, you say, yani this is how you use this word لَمَّا. For example, you say لَمَّا سَمِعْتُ الْأَذَانَ, لَمَّا سَمِعْتُ الْأَذَانَ ذَهَبْتُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ. Be careful that you don't yani become confused with yani lamma that is used with the mudari verb to make it past tense meaning. Okay, the meaning here lamma means in reference to time, andama, at the time when such and such happened. Lamma sami'tu, when I heard al adhana, the call to prayer, dhahabtu ila al masjid, I went to the masjid. Another example of the word lamma, how it's used, lamma ra'aytu النتيجة فرحت لما يعني عندما, at the time when رأيت, I saw النتيجة, the results. Results of what? Of the exams. For example, فرحت, I was what? Very happy. Very happy. لما رأيت, at the time when I saw the results, I was very happy. Number three, third example, لما زار المدرس بلدي دعوته إلى بيتي. لما, again the meaning of لما is at the time when. لما زار المدرس, يعني when the teacher visited بلدي, my country, دعوته, I invited him إلى بيتي, to my house. And the last word that came is سأل, يعني came the hadith here, يعني that the man said, I don't have anybody to guide me to the masjid. فسأل, therefore, because of that, therefore, سأل رسول الله, يعني he asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, أن يرخص له, to give him permission. سأل says here, A means IE, that is, Sa'ala means talaba. Yani he asked, means he requested. Sa'ala is the past tense. The mudari is yas'alu. The masda su'alun. Sa'ala, he asked or he requested. Yas'alu, he does ask, he is asking. Su'al, yani a question or questioning. Taqulu, you say, for example, sa'altu al-mudarrisa kitaban. Sa'altu al-mudarrisa kitaban. A, talabtu minhu kitaban. Yani, sa'altu, I asked the teacher for a book, meaning I requested from him a book. Okay, any question about any of these words that we covered here in the notes on this hadith? Any question about the meaning of these words? Okay, let's look at the questions that came. Wow, time is going past us. Okay, we may come back to this hadith, inshallah, next week. But anyway, let's do the exercises, and then we'll look at, maybe some points related to this hadith next week. Munakasha, on page 34, in the middle of the page, it says Munakasha, and the discussion related to this hadith. Two groups of questions. The first group of questions says, Ajib an al-as'ilati al-atiyati. Answer concerning the following questions. Question number one. Men qala hadha wa limen. Yani, this is a question, and there are three statements that come after it. So for each statement, we want to know, men qala hadha, who said it, who said this, wa limen, and to whom, and to whom. Who said it, and to whom. Okay, three statements. And each of them, we want to know, who made the statement and who did he say it to? Okay, somebody take the first one. Laysa li qa'idun yaquduni ila al-masjidi. I don't have any qa'id to guide me to the masjid. Who said this and to whom? Nasir.
Rajulun a'ma.
Okay, rajulun a'ma. He said it. Liman. To whom? Who did he say it to? Yani qala. Qala hadha li rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, the second statement, هَلْ تَسْمَعُ النِّدَاءَ. Yani, do you hear the nida? Who said it and to who, to men? Menti. Naam, yani, men qala hadha, yani, qalahu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلِمَنْ لِي الرَّجُلُ الْأَعْمَى. The third question, فَأَجِبْ, I mean the third statement, فَأَجِبْ مَنْ قَالَ هَذَا وَلِمَنْ. نعم, عبد الحق.
قَالَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم لِرَجُلٍ
أَعْمَى. نعم, who said this? يعني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Who did he say it to? A blind man. The blind man, يعني ابن أم مكتوم. طيب, question number two, مَاذَا طَالَبَ الرجل الأعمى من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولماذا وهل حقق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رغبته. Okay, this question has parts. The first part, somebody take the first part. ماذا طلب الرجل الأعمى من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. What is the meaning of the question first, Musa?
What did the blind man ask the Messenger of Allah?
What did the blind man ask the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم to give to him, to يعني grant him? Naam.
طلب الرجل الأعمى من النبي صلى الله عليه
وسلم, صلى الله عليه وسلم,
أن يرخص له, أن يرخص له.
نعم, في أي شيء؟ أن يصلي في بيته. يعني the blind man asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يرخص له, to give him permission, فَيُصَلِّيَ فِي بَيْتِهِ, so that he may pray in his house. And يعني, this answer that he gave answers the second question, لِمَاذَا. يعني, okay, or it's part of the answer anyway. لِمَاذَا. Why did يعني, he request this from him?
لِأَنَّهُ رَجُلٌ أَعْمَى.
لِأَنَّهُ رَجُلٌ أَعْمَى. نعم, وليس له قائد يقوده إلى المسجد إلى الصلاة. نعم, why did he ask him permission? Because he's a blind man and he didn't have a guide to guide him to the masjid. وهل حقق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رغبته. رغبته means, رغبة means a person's wish or their desire. Did the Prophet حقق, يعني did he fulfill that man's wish or his desire? هل يعني حقق, did he fulfill, يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, did he fulfill رغبته, that man's desire, did he fulfill it?
نعم.
Huh? He fulfilled it?
No.
Yani at first, right? أولاً. Now, أولاً رخص له. And then after that, يعني ثانياً, يعني he retracted that permission and told him to يعني come, فأجب. Question number 3, ما المراد بالنداء في الحديث? What is the intended meaning of النداء in the hadith? What is the intending meaning of النداء? Mustafa. الأذان. الأذان. الأذان للصلاة في المسجد في الجماعة. Question number 4, on page 35, top of the page, ما المراد بقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأجب. يعني what is the intended meaning of the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم فأجب. What is the intended meaning? نعم.
مراده أن يأتي.
نعم. The intended meaning of answer means come. يعني intended meaning is that he should come to the masjid for the salat and jama'ah. Question number 5. أكمل الحديث أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل أعمى. Somebody complete this hadith from this point. أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل أعمى. نعم مرشد.
I may miss some of the words you added.
Okay, go ahead. Recite it the way you know it. صلى الله عليه وسلم
أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل أعمى. فقال يا رسول الله ليس له
صلى الله عليه وسلم
يقود
ليس لي
يقود
قائد فسأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يرخص له أن يصلي في بيته. نعم.
فقال هل تسمع النداء؟ فقال نعم قلت.
قال
أجب.
فأجب. نعم. رواه مسلم. يعني others narrated also, but in the book here just only mentions Imam Muslim. طيب. The sixth question, ماذا تستفيد من هذا الحديث? And this is not covered in our notes, right? And we didn't have a chance to talk about it today. ولكن ماذا تستفيد من هذا الحديث? What is the فائدة, the benefit that you get from this hadith? What is the benefit that you get from this hadith? نعم, Abu Bakr. We didn't hear from Abu Bakr, نعم.
يجب علي كل مسلم رجال مسلم أن يصلي في المسجد.
طيب, in brief, يعني some of the scholars said, somebody else have something else? نعم, موسى. يعني he said that it's obligatory upon the men to pray in the masjid. نعم.
من سمع النداء فعليه أن يصلي في المسجد.
موسى says, whoever hears the نداء, whoever hears the adhan, then he must pray in the masjid. Anybody else? Any other of you?
Well,
salat fi masjidi afdal. Naam. That's even possible to be understood, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's most of us given a different ruling than what has been said so far, completely different ruling. He's saying that praying in the masjid in jama'ah is better. Okay, so let me just say here, right? This hadith requires a lot of discussion. And I actually collected notes, pages of notes, but yani Allahu musta'an, yani we don't have time. But I'll summarize that some of the scholars, and maybe next week we can look at the references and the sources for the sayings of the scholars. But in summary, some of the scholars said that from this hadith, what is understood is wujub, al-wujub, al-al-ayn. Yani that attending the prayer, the congregational prayer in the masjid, is obligatory upon every individual, meaning the men who are able and so on and so forth. This is one of the opinions. Second opinion is farad al-kifaya. Yani some of the scholars said that the attending the prayer in the masjid is farad al-kifaya. Al-kifaya, meaning that if some of the people yani form the congregational prayer, then it is yakfi, it is kifaya, yani it is sufficient as long as some of the people come. And the third opinion is that it is sunnah mu'akkada. These are three opinions of the scholars, of people of sunnah. These are three opinions. Yani the first opinion, that it's obligatory on every individual, yani with all of its conditions, meaning men, adult, and so on, sane. And the second opinion is that it's fard kifaya, it's fard on the community to establish the prayer, even if every individual doesn't come. And the third opinion is that it's yani the congregational prayer is sunnah mu'akkada, yani mu'akkada, meaning that the Prophet ﷺ never abandoned it, he always did it. It's a confirmed sunnah, it has to be established. These are three different views. In any case, yani we can say that, and since we don't have time to discuss in the detail and the evidences, we can say that there are some evidences that each of them can use to support their view. Yani what appears to be the meaning of this hadith is that it's obligatory on those who hear the adhan, as Musa said. But however, some of the scholars, like the Shafi'i madhab, they say it's obligatory to establish the jama'ah, yani as a community, even if some individuals don't come. And what's clear is that if a person has a legitimate udhr, because it came in a hadith as sahih, that the prayer of the person, yani whoever doesn't come to the masjid for the jama'ah, their prayer is not valid, illa min udhr, unless they have an excuse. If a person has a legitimate excuse from the sharia for being absent, then that's different. So, yani, these are some of the views that came concerning this hadith, and we don't have time to go into the details of it, but maybe next week we can take a second look at this particular issue. Question number 7. Man as-sahabi alladhi rawa hadha al-hadith? Who is the companion that narrated this hadith? Anybody? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Wa man al-muhaddith alladhi akhrajahu? And who is the scholar of hadith that collected it? Al-Imam Muslim rahimahullah. Second set of questions, and we want to quickly go through these questions and then we're going to close out. Second set of questions, Hati al-Mudari wal-Masdar min Ata. What is the present tense and the Masdar? Naam, Nasir.
Yati, the present tense, Yati.
And the Masdar?
Ityan.
Ityan. Yani Ata, Yati, Ityan. Hati al-Mudari wa ism fa'il min Yaqudu. What is the past tense of Yaqudu? Qada. And what is the ism fa'il? Qa'idun. Naam. Number 3. Ma ma'ana rakhasa lahu fi kadha. What is the meaning of this expression? Rakhasa lahu fi kadha. Adina lahu ba'da an-nahi anhu. Ba'da an-nahi anhu. Yani to be given permission for something after it has been prohibited. Question number 4. Hati al-mudari wal-masdar wal-amr min ajaba. Ajaba is the past tense. What is the present tense? The masdar and the command, imperative form. Ajaba, yujibu, yujibu, masda, ijaba, ijabatun, and the fil amra, ajib. Question number 5, adkhil lamma fi jumlataini. Yani use the word lamma in two sentences. Give us one.
Lamma dakhaltu al-masjida, salaytu.
Naam. Lamma dakhaltu al-masjid, when I enter the masjid, salaytu. Rakataini, I prayed 2 rakat. Somebody else give us another sentence with lamma. Naam, Minty.
Lamma
sami'tu al-adhana, dhahabtu ila al-masjid. Mustafa.
Kam khariyatin akhlaqnahum lamma zalamu.
Lamma zalamu. Tayyib. Tayyib, last question. Akmil al-hadith al-atiya bi kalima. Akmil al-jumal al-atiya. Complete the following sentences with the word a'ma wa sigatuha al-ukhra. Yani we want to use the word a'ma and the other forms of the word, meaning a'ma is the masculine form, the feminine form, and the plural form. Where it requires masculine, we're going to use the masculine form for a blind person. Where it requires feminine, we're going to use the feminine form. Where it requires a plural, we're going to use the plural form. Okay, so the first one is hawla in nisa. What word should be here? Umyun. Umyun is the plural for masculine and feminine. The second one, هَذَا الْوَلَدُ أَعْمَى. This is a masculine singular, so we're using the masculine singular form أَعْمَى. هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةُ amya'u. This is a feminine singular, so we don't use the feminine form. Amya'u. And the last one, ha'ulai al-awladu. Umyun. This is a plural. Masculine and feminine plural is umyun. And this is the end of the questions. The last part we covered a little bit quickly. So next week, inshallah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, if somebody has a question about any of the exercises, we'll do that before we start the new hadith next week. We're going to go over the exercises if anybody has a question. And also maybe look at a couple of points related to this hadith. Due to the time, right now we're going to stop immediately without any further delay because we have a schedule, right? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayh.